It's Thursday, April 14th, and you're tuned in to the 1080 Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We're talking about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Guess what, Anthony?
Tell me.
It is long weekend.
Finally.
We are here for long weekend, and we're here to be in your ears because I know Friday, y'all got nothing to do. Everything's closed. Y'all not doing anything.
Us.
Exactly. So you're stuck with us today. We know you're listening today. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
I guess. Now that we got you by the balls, I got a timeshare opportunity for you guys.
Oh, our first sponsorship opportunity, and we're selling it right back to you, listener.
It's from Snake Oil Industries.
Because obviously, where else would it be from?
Exactly.
Jeez.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. Easter's coming up this weekend. If you celebrate Easter, happy Easter to everyone who's celebrating that.
And if you don't celebrate Easter, convert to Catholicism.
Or not, you know, just do what you're doing.
There's no other option.
Actually, I noticed a lot of people I know are actually doing Ramadan right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the fasting one.
Yeah, I felt so bad because I asked a coworker. Sucks. I was like, hey, you want to come for lunch? I'm going to grab some stuff. And she was like, no, I think I'm just going to chill here. I'm like, you suck. I said that to her.
Yeah. And she's like, you're racist.
No, and then she's like, well, you know, I have to be fasting. I was like, oh, fuck.
Uh-oh.
I look like an asshole. I'm an asshole now, aren't I? She's like, no, it's fine. But yeah, I felt kind of bad.
So you came back and ate in front of her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
I had to. I got fried chicken.
So there's like no way to get out of that.
What?
You know, because like, you know, for Lent, you got to give up something for like a month. But like every kid in Catholic school is like, well, I'm going to give up Lent for Lent. Hell yeah. Like, there's no, like, loophole there.
What do you mean?
You know, there's, like, no way to get out of Ramadan, like, get out of fasting.
Okay, there's a difference between breaking the rules and just believing in your faith. Like, it's up to you. Like, the only person you're cheating is yourself. Like,
yeah, true.
Like, like, no one's going to punish you for breaking Lent
or
breaking your
fast. Well, the man upstairs.
No, let's be real. Like, it's not like it's a... Like, yes, you have to be, you know, it's your religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really within you and yourself and your religion.
I guess, true.
Like, if you break it, who cares? Like, the only person who's going to judge you is you.
No, I'm not. Exactly. I'm not going to judge me.
And if that's the case, then you never cared in the first place. So why'd you even do it?
Because I love my grandma and she was a hardcore Christian. So I did what she wanted me to do.
So then, yeah. So what you're telling me is you never cared.
I believed in my grandma. That's what I'm telling you.
Did you?
Oh, God.
Did you?
Oh, God. Is my grandma real?
shit.
Anyways. Where is she now, huh? Maybe there wasn't really a funeral, huh?
Oh,
maybe
no.
She's not actually dead. Maybe she never existed.
She just wanted to get away from you.
Exactly. She's in the Bahamas right now.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Living life.
Yeah. Anyways, we got a packed show for you guys today.
Hell yeah.
Lots of things on docket. But first up, we got a movie review coming. In we saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
And
who was the husband?
I don't know, a bunch of like smaller actors.
So the thing is, he's not that small
in America.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you what he was in.
Okay.
And so I'm gonna fuck up this name. Kay Hui Kwan.
Okay, if I just say, how about we just say this? He's not a household name.
He's not. But he was in household movies. So he was in Indiana Jones and the Goonies.
As the kid?
As the kid, as the Asian kid in both those movies.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he took a break from movies for like 20 years. And he was like, I want to come back into movies. Because apparently he saw like Crazy Rich Asians and he's like, oh shit. Hell yeah.
Now's my time.
I want to be in these Asian movies.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know he's back. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know who the daughter was played by.
I don't know who she is.
All I know, the biggest name actor here is actually Jamie Lee Curtis.
I forgot her name for like the longest time. I was like looking at her. I'm like, I know this woman. Who is she? What's her name?
Yeah.
And I couldn't like put a finger on
it. Yeah, she does a great job in her role. But yeah. Why don't you go? What's this movie about?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is the story of a Chinese immigrant.
Is it?
It is.
Okay, sure.
She comes from the China.
Wow.
Right? And she has an established life in a laundromat. We learn that she ran away from her family with her husband to live a life of the American dream. They bought a laundromat, and they've been doing this for years. And you kind of meet her in a very, I guess, impactful section of her life where everything is busy. Life is not really what she imagined it would be. It's not really what she wanted it to be. And she's constantly bogged down with all kinds of problems with her business, with her marriage, her family. Her daughter's a lesbian and, you know, as a immigrant, it's probably a problem.
What part?
The lesbian part.
Sure.
Right? And it's just everything's not going right. Until one fateful day on a trip to the IRS, her husband turns into a different version of her husband. And it turns out that this version of Michelle Yeoh is, or this version of Evelyn is her name in the movie, is the only version in all of the multiverse that can stop a universe-jumping supervillain. And Evelyn and Michelle Yeoh's character has to navigate this newfound power, has to balance her own family life, and has to balance what she wants out of life throughout the whole movie while dealing with supernatural dimension-hopping stuff. That's basically the gist.
Okay.
And then from there, it gets buck wild.
Now, I know for a fact you love this movie.
It's movie's movie of the year. All right? If this is going to be hard. It's going to be a hard thing to beat.
So tell me why you loved it.
This movie, has, like, successfully combined, like, five genres into one movie. And I have no idea how the writers, the Daniels in this case, have managed that. It is somehow a comedy, a love story, a superhero movie, a romance, and somewhat of like a thriller horror all in one. And they have managed to take all these genres, put them into a story that is just as varied and tell a very relatively simple human story about your life decisions, about being happy with where you are and letting go of the past, letting go of regret. And they tell it in such a fantastical way that it almost like amplifies the importance of that simple story.
Okay.
It's extremely unique. It is like honestly nothing I've ever seen before, maybe other than their last movie, Swiss Army Man, which was kind of equally as weird.
Yeah.
With Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And it is such a break from what I've seen in the theaters lately. A lot of theater movies now are not this experimental, like not even by a minor margin.
For sure.
Usually if stuff is in the theaters now, it is a Marvel movie or it is something safe, maybe like a simple rom-com or whatever, or another big budget action movie.
I think I would disagree with you, but okay.
Yeah. But the stuff I've seen, at least, it seems like they know what the market wants, and then this like market safe movie is very apt for theatrical release.
Yeah, like the only reason I say that is because movies like this, like these smaller independent films, always come out. It's just whether or not you've been made aware of them.
Yeah, yeah, right? That's also true. And a lot of them, I'm not saying that they don't, these types of movies don't exist.
Yeah,
but a lot of them do come out like straight to streaming.
No.
A lot of the more interesting movies I've seen and the smaller movies have been like Netflix originals or whatever, Amazon, whatever, right? Stuff that takes a little bit more of a risk because they're smaller budget, and then Netflix would just be like, yeah, just make us more content for our stuff and make it exclusive to our platform.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like the amount of like really unique independent films have mostly remained the same. Hmm. They don't get the highlight, like definitely do not have marketing behind them.
Yeah.
But I think they are pretty consistent.
Yeah. There's obviously like exceptions to the rule. Like I think the latest, who's that guy that did the Grand Budapest Hotel?
I forget.
Damn, I forget his name. But yeah, he did The French Connection, and his movie, like, it came out in theaters.
Yeah.
People saw it, right? Didn't have that much fanfare. But Wes Anderson, that's his name. like the latest Wes Anderson movies still come out. Like,
for sure.
There is still stuff, but it is nice to see a kind of smaller movie done by a smaller team with a very unique premise get a worldwide theatrical release. So that's like the outside, that's like the meta part of the movie I enjoyed as well. But
that it got a what?
They got like a worldwide, or like, is it worldwide? It was like in every theater.
Yeah, every every most independent films get a full release. What are you talking about?
There's a couple we had to go, like, there's, I know there's a lot of stuff that I am interested in. I have to go like out to Toronto to see, because it's only in like select theaters, like a small release.
Are you sure you just didn't watch it on like this, the initial, because like this movie actually came back out back in March.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then it was like the limited release, and then it got a wider audience. I just remember like other types of movies, like especially Asian movies, or Asian main cast movies. Like the one I really liked was The Handmaiden.
Yeah,
and that was like only limited release, and that was like one of the more interesting movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. Okay. Like for sure.
But yeah, I think this, without getting like too spoilery, this movie hit. I laughed. I cried. I was excited.
You cried?
I cried three times.
Are you kidding me? No. Because of laughter or because of?
Because of feels.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow.
And it's a movie where I left the theater. And me and Blavian, we went to go see it together.
Yeah.
We discussed the movie the whole way back.
That's cool.
Like, it was
there's
like,
a lot to discuss.
Yeah. There's like so many avenues that you could take different meanings around. Like, my big one was that it's like a big social media analogy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And just being happy with your life and not looking at everything everywhere all at once to see what you missed out on and what decisions you made wrong and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I don't know. It's just great. Without actually getting into spoilery specifics, it's just a fantastic movie.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think I more or less feel the same way you do, but just not on the same magnitude.
Okay.
Like for me, like if you're going to say like this movie's magnificent, I would say it's very good. Okay. I wouldn't call it great. I think the number one thing about this movie that I think as an audience member you need to go in knowing is it'll appeal to a very specific type of person.
Hello.
But if it appeals to you, you will fucking love it.
Hell yeah.
For everyone else, you might be alienated by it.
There was a couple people in the theater we were in where I could feel that certain sections of the movie were very alienating to them.
Yeah.
Especially during that dog portion.
Yeah. for sure. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 So like there's things about that. But I think for me, I liked it a lot. I have a couple issues with it. I think, like, and it's a lot of things that will probably sound familiar if you've been listening to us a lot. This movie is very insane and random, and it's great, and you're right, it has multiple genres, but it's almost too insane for its own good in that it's so random, but the randomness just comes at you, and half of it comes off as kind of meaningless. Like, it's random for random's sake, and that's the kind of shit that I don't, that really puts me off.
I think the only part of that that felt like that to me was any usage of like sex toys.
I mean, sure, yeah.
When that stuff
came like out. there's a big fight scene that requires that.
Yeah, but when that's really interesting because like when I was like analyzing all the scenes in my head after the fact, like I really do feel that like there were a lot of parts that are like every part was pretty key to what the story was trying to tell. So like what parts are did you feel that was like random for random's sake or like just kind of irked you the wrong way?
If I say Ratatouille, right, like there's a lot, like even the allegory for an everything bagel, or even just like the naming of the villain, or just sitting in like certain settings, like the sitting in a van with something on your head, like a lot of it is just like they go beyond abstract just for the shock value, but I don't find it that it adds like I don't find it added anything to the story in the sense that the actual story isn't it's simple, but I would say it's also not that important as much to the overall experience. The actual narrative kind of gets lost within all the randomness. And I didn't find that, like, there's times where, like, it got so crazy that I felt like the movie lost its focus. And I, at that point, I just wasn't in it anymore. Like,
interesting.
I lost that kind of shit. But I think my biggest disappointment is the ending. Like, the ending sequence, the ending where the movie's supposed to crescendo up to this big moment, it just fell flat. Like, at that point, you've seen how crazy this movie has been.
Yeah.
And it never goes beyond it anymore. Like, it just kind of just, it the last third just kind of levels out. And you're, and everything they do from that point on is just, it's weird. It's like, I know I just complained that, like, it's too crazy. And then the end, I'm saying it's not crazy enough.
Yeah.
But it's just, I found it unbalanced in that sense.
Well, the whole movie's kind of unbalanced in a certain way.
For sure. And, like, that's just how I interpret it.
It's like when they do it, like, it's set into three sections. Part one is everywhere. Part two is everything.
Yeah.
Part three is all at once.
Yeah.
Right. And even those are unbalanced. Like, the first part of the movie is the longest. And then part three is, like,
for sure.
30 seconds, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really interesting because I think I would have a completely
different opinion.
Opposite view, like, almost completely, just because the simplification of the end of the story and.
Oh, I don't even mean the story. I just mean, like, what's literally happening on screen.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. Yeah. Yeah. And what's happening on screen.
Yeah.
That simplification is Evelyn coming to terms with certain things, and even though she, I'm not going to talk about it, but it's just, I feel like that for me, that ending sealed off,
like,
pretty perfectly to explain what the story was trying to tell the audience through something insanely wild.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was, like, it was kind of,
it's hard to talk around with the spoilers. Because,
like, I don't even think the spoilers have anything to do with it. Like, I would even say, from a narrative point of view, it was kind of lame. That's just what I'm going to say. But the movie was 100% entertaining. Like, I don't think it's a bad movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's some shit that happens in the movie that's like, whoa.
It's also like a visual feast.
Absolutely.
Like, this is definitely something I saw. When I saw it in the theaters, I was like, I'm glad I saw this in a theater.
I don't know if I would say that. I think you could watch it at home and get the same experience. But yeah, like, I think the ultimate, I guess, my closing thought on it would be, like, I went in, I took in everything, and when I left, it was immediately gone.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was fun. I liked it. But I don't think I would ever watch, like, I don't think I'd ever think about this movie ever again.
I want to watch it again. I want to go for a second run in the theater.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty cool, though. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it for, like, the past couple days.
Oh, yeah. I haven't thought about it at all.
Yeah. Man, their writing is so cool to me. Like, in my mind, like, I am the audience where, like you say, it struck me in a certain way, and it's staying here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I knew you would like this when I was watching. I'm like, oh, you'll like this. Because in many parts, I was just like, oh, this is exactly why JoJo doesn't appeal to me, right? Like, it's just off the wall.
Listen, JoJo's art.
Yeah. Okay? No, I'm not going to deny that, but I can hate art.
Yeah, you can. Right? It's true. Yeah. It is your prerogative to hate art.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah.
Some would say hating art is art, like, in itself.
I'm like, this is the exact type of content that, like, fuck. I just, yeah, I don't know. But it's cool. Michelle Kwan's still very cool at what she does.
Michelle Kwan?
Not Kwan, sorry.
Damn.
Yo.
That's a racist.
Why was I thinking the figure skater? Michelle Yeoh.
Maybe she's still really good at figure skating.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I've been thinking Kwan, but yeah.
Man, Michelle Yeoh's so hot. God,
yeah. In this movie?
Just in general.
I'm not going to touch that.
Damn.
Nope.
Yo, hit me up, Michelle. Yeah. Is she single?
I think she has a family.
Damn, that sucks that I have to make her leave her family.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Well, there you go. Check out Everything Ever All at Once. You'll either love it or you'll love it.
Yo, Michelle Kwan's cute too. Goddamn.
The figure skater?
Yeah.
I don't know what she looks like today, but
I don't know. I just Googled a picture of her. I don't know if it's older or not.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I yeah, that's a 10 out of 10 movie for me.
All right. We'll see what happens at the end of the year.
No, we'll see.
We'll see. Let's go on some picks of the week.
I got a couple. I got, like, one video game, one or maybe two, but it's more news this week, like actual news.
That's what this section's for.
I know. So let's start off with the games. Vanillaware, everyone's favorite 2D animation studio out of Japan.
Banila.
They recently made 13 Sentinels in 2020, uh-huh. I believe. And before that, I think they re-released Odin Sphere, Lufthrausser. They make very pretty.
Lufthrausser?
Is it?
I don't know. I thought it was Leffenrasier.
Leffenrasier? I don't know. Something German.
Leffenrasier.
Something German. I don't know. Oh, Lufthrausser is the plane game.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's not that my bad.
Video game expert.
I know, right?
That's twice today.
What a loser. Vanillaware makes very pretty 2D games. Usually, they're flawed in some way, but they're very visually appealing. Vanillaware is remaking Grim Grimoire. It is Grim Grimoire once more. This was a game that came out in 2007 on the PlayStation 2. And if I had to explain it, it was like, I guess it was like a RTS tower defense where you had multiple levels of a tower and you had to defend your tower from enemies by setting up different units. I think there was some farming in there as well on the fly to get food and stuff. It was a very odd game. It was a very unique game, and nothing else has come out like it since. And it is one of their prettier games. It takes place in like a witch magical school type thing. Very, maybe not Harry Potter, but sure more does. Classic fantasy. And hopefully, liked with the Odin Sphere update or upgrade, they will make some quality of life changes.
Well, what do you think this game would need?
If I remember correctly, it was very grindy. And they probably need to make some like number tweaks in terms of like progression and stuff like that. And if I'm being honest, a lot of this is just my memory from like 20 years ago. So it's very hazy. But I do remember enjoying it. I did never beat it for certain reasons, like how grindy it was. And I think, I don't know, probably like a Grand Theft Auto game came out and I forgot about it or some shit. But it's cool to see these play, and if it's I'm excited for it because of the Odin Sphere remake, because that was so good. So it actually fixed the game enough to like, yeah, I'll finish this. I'll play this to the end.
Yeah.
So right now they only have a Japanese release date of July 28th.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah, nothing for North America, but it'll probably come out here. Or maybe it'll be like a Nipponichi store exclusive. Or something like that. We'll see.
Cool.
After that, I think a couple months ago, we were talking about how China was like, our kids are too hooked on games.
Oh, yeah. They're like 3 hours on the weekend? 1 hour a day on the weekend?
Yeah.
Something? Yeah.
And then they're also like, people trying, listen, you guys make too many games.
So, yeah.
So
companies are pulling out. Yeah.
So we're banning game industry here. And that's when China was like, well, we got to invest in Japan. Oh, shit. Like,
what a crazy call.
That's insane.
I bet they just saw their economy just tank.
Probably.
And they're like, we got to backpedal this one.
But China has ended their 9-month freeze on Japan. This is through Reuters and Reuters, however you pronounce that.
Okay.
Today they've included approval for 45 new games to be developed in Japan. So they stopped issuing renewals last year around July, I would say. And they also included the limiting of games to just 3 hours a week for minors. A bunch of like different ratings board stuff, really strict rules around sexuality, morality, and religion. And yeah, because of that call, over 14,000 game developers closed down in China. So this is pretty big news for the country. The fact that they're only allowing 45 games to be released is kind of crazy, but you can only expect them to either be like state approved stuff or just like, hey, I heard other countries love that gotcha shit. Let's funnel their money.
State approved video games?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
So it does sound awful, but it also sounds very interesting. I want to see what a state approved video game looks and plays like.
Okay.
Like Xi Jinping Simulator.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just the news in China. I think the bigger news this week is Jack Dorsey, the inventor of Twitter. He bought an NFT a while ago. you know, NFTs are hot. He bought it for $2.9 million.
Well, I hope this is a bad story.
And recently put it up on auction. It's a Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? He put it up hoping to get around $47 to $50 million. I want you to guess what the highest bid was at auction before the time limit expired on the bid or on the auction.
I don't know,
$3,000. $280.
Wow.
Hell yeah, brother.
Good job, society.
What an investment. I know it's a little petty, all right? I'm playing the petty card here, but I kind of love it. I kind of love this news.
No, it's good. It's great.
This is fantastic.
I like hearing that.
We now kind of have confirmation that NFT bros really are just snake oil salesmen, and they are selling Omega rich people on a dream.
Yeah.
That's, I don't think I've seen a worse investment ever.
Yeah, that's wild.
Like, like going from $2.9 million to $280.
Yeah, wow.
Like, what's the negative on that return? That's crazy.
I don't know. It's like negative 10,000%. I don't know. No,
that's
it's got to be more than that. Yeah, I don't know. Jeez, wow.
The thing is like, I like the idea of the blockchain. I think the technology of the blockchain will eventually be something that is implemented in everyday life, especially if companies want to keep pursuing some digital future.
No, absolutely. Right? I think like so too. Yeah.
Yeah. To keep this like eternal chain of transactions and whatever, like it's going to be necessary eventually.
I hope that it gets a bit more efficient in terms of its energy consumption. 100%.
100%.
You know, but I can see the core of the technology being very important. But absolutely.
NFTs, dog. Yeah. God damn. NFTs this is great. I love this shit. Man. Just tanked. Fuck yeah.
NFTs are fucking wild. Jesus. God damn.
So that's good news. All right. And then other good or bad news, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, is that Elon Musk is in the news again.
When is he not?
When is he not, honestly? Elon Musk recently bought a controlling share in Twitter.
Breaking news. He is not the controlling share.
Is he not?
Nope.
What was he?
He was at the time. Oh, but as of today, he is not.
Okay. He was at the time. But he has offered to buy all of Twitter.
Yeah.
At $54.20 a share, totaling just about $34 billion. You know, chump change.
Is it 34?
Or sorry, 43.
I thought so.
$43 billion. Dollars,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just to buy every share that Twitter has.
Yeah.
Because he wants to take this back to a private company.
Yeah.
So nobody knows what the fuck Elon Musk is doing. Nobody knows if this is just another ploy, all right, to raise his stake or what. But I saw something interesting online, which was there was a tweet a couple years ago from Elon Musk where he said that, you know, I would love to buy Twitter just to delete it.
Hell yeah.
So if Big E, if he can keep true on his promise...
Yeah, I mean, the quote from him is, this is a platform that needs to be drastically
changed. Yep.
Why not?
He came out also with this announcement. He's like, my offer is my best and final offer, and if it's not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is, when he originally bought and became a controlling interest, they were looking for, like, they were obviously going to put him on the board.
Yep.
And he denied it.
Oh, he's like, I don't
want
to be.
I don't want that. Instead, I want to buy. That's the power move.
That's a $43 billion power move. Yeah, that's insane.
And he was like, I'll do it in cash. And like, how much? You can't get more baller than that.
I'll give it to you right now. I swear to God.
Like, I'll give it to you in cash.
I can do it. It's liquid, baby. You want hundreds? You want tens? Bring back the $1,000 bill?
That's incredible. In cash. Yeah,
that's he has too much money.
No, he doesn't have enough.
What? Shut up.
No, he doesn't. If that offer is not enough to buy Twitter, then he doesn't have enough money.
What do you think Twitter would turn into if Elon Musk bought it? Do you think he'd delete it? Do you think he's that much of a wild card?
Yeah, I think he'd delete it. Not permanently, but I think he would delete it for a bit.
Okay.
All right. And then bring it back.
With an edit button.
With an edit button, with a chronological timeline, and he would go back to 140 characters.
Oh, that would be spicy.
Yeah. And he would make it so that if he posted a picture, your URL is part of the character count.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. All right. Bring back Bitly. Yeah, bring back all the URL shorteners.
Shortly, Bitly. Yeah,
yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I like this.
Yeah.
The last one I actually forgot. This is like really, I guess, businessy news. Okay. Jack Trenton, former PlayStation boss, he's back in the video games. He is setting up a SPAC.
Okay.
So a SPAC is short for a Specials Acquisitions Company. And what these companies do is that they just acquire smaller companies and they allow them to have some sort of like almost like an angel investor, but through a company. And the big thing here is that usually with SPACs, the SPAC itself can go public and people can buy controlling shares in the SPAC. But then that means the companies who the SPAC have acquired are also technically public. So it is an easier way for companies to get out there and get investors, right? Obviously, SPACs take a cut, right?
They gotta make money.
Yeah, they have all the connections, they have all the capital, yeah. And so they're gonna take a little bit of a portion. But the cool thing here with Jack Trenton's new SPAC, it is what's it called here? Power Up Acquisition Corp. Is strictly for gaming. It is to acquire indie studios to allow them to go public and more quickly get funding for their ideas and their games and whatever. I think this is really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go too deep into it because it is very business jargon type of shit. But it's on gamesindustry.biz. Check it out. The headline is Jack Trenton brings SPAC to gaming. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, this is kind of like one of the first of its kind for the gaming sphere.
Yeah.
There's SPACs for a lot of other stuff. A lot of electric car companies get put under SPACs because they're kind of experimental and don't have enough capital or revenue to get put into a public situation by themselves. But this is a pretty interesting and big boy move in terms of business for the video game industry. I think it's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
So yeah, those are my picks.
That's pretty cool. Okay. You know what I haven't talked about in a long time, and I'm so happy to talk about again?
What?
Overwatch, baby.
Oh, my God. Isn't this game dead?
No, because I'm talking about Overwatch 2. The game hasn't even been born.
I thought the game was canceled.
It's not out, so it can't be dead.
Okay, it's in limbo, is what you're telling me.
Well, we got the first sight of the game, the first real sight, no more of this alpha, beta bullshit, because they got a new character.
So wait, was that... gameplay video, is that in Overwatch 2? That's in the engine?
That's Overwatch 2.
That shit looks the same.
I mean, yeah, it does. I guess unless you're an Overwatch fan, you won't notice that all the character models are actually different.
I did not.
Yeah, like Genji's has a jacket.
Didn't he always have a jacket?
No, he's a robot.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cyborg.
And he shoots shurikens from his arm.
Yeah, so like, it's all different. But the important part is they are showing the first new character, Sojourn.
Soldier?
Sojourn.
Soldier 76.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. No, because 76 is American.
Hell yeah.
This one's Canadian.
Okay, all
Canadian, right. Canadian, eh?
Why did they just, like, make him a knockoff of the American character?
What do you think Canada is?
Dude, we got maple syrup. No, what are you talking about?
No, we talk about this all the time. Like, the amount of Canadians who are just like, oh, we're so much better than America. Like, fuck off. We're the same.
Eh. I don't know if we're the same or similar.
We're close enough that entire world just views us as the same.
Yeah, until they're low on maple syrup. And then what?
Like, what?
The
only difference between us and America for the world is Canadians are nicer.
True.
But otherwise, the same fucking shit.
True.
Right? Anyways, Sojourn. Canadian, but technically she's black and she's a sheep.
Technically she's black?
Well, she's a robot.
Oh.
Like, she's like a cyborg thing, too, right? Like,
is Genji a robot?
Yeah, Genji's kind of cyborg robot. Right. So, Yeah, she is DPS. She comes with a railgun, and she got some cool abilities. I'm going to tell you all about her abilities. All
right. Okay, lay it down, because I was looking at them. They look like Soldier 76.
So first, there's a railgun.
Nice.
Primary fire. Rapid fire.
Okay.
Duh.
Of course.
Secondary fire. You charge. High impact shot.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It's looking like a marksman type character.
Marksman slash assault. Right. Whatever. First ability, power slide. This is where she goes low and she slides across the field at an increased speed.
So apex.
You can cancel the slide into a super jump.
Huh.
So like Bastion, not Bastion. God, I forget his name. He's like the healer with a gun.
Not Lucio.
No.
That's Baptiste?
Not Baptiste. Baptiste has the super jump.
Yep.
But you have to charge it. Hers is you slide and you can cancel into the super jump.
The mobility, dude.
Uh-huh. She also has this...
How come all the black characters have a super jump?
White man can't jump.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
She also has the disruptor shot.
Which
She shoots this tiny little AoE grenade into the field.
Okay.
Deals damage and causes slow.
Doesn't Orisa do that?
Orisa has the gravity.
Oh, and it pulls people in.
Yeah. Okay. This one is slow and damages. And then her ultimate is called Overclock. And basically, her gun, like I said, the secondary fire is a charge, so you have to hold. It automatically auto-charges, and every shot has pierce.
Huh.
And that's what you saw at the
every
end.
Every
shot has
so
pierce.
So you're telling me there's multiple shots.
I'm telling you, there's multiple shots.
I thought that was a one-shot deal.
No,
insane.
Every shot has pierce.
No wonder that's OP, because it was like, it shot through Bob, it shot through Ham, it shot through Ash.
Yeah.
Like, and it killed all of them in one shot.
Yeah, so I don't know what the damage is going to be. Like, I watched some gameplay of it. It seems
a little powerful.
It seemed a little broken. I don't know.
Like, if that was a one-shot deal, I could see that.
Yeah.
But if it's just, like, you got multiple chances to OHKO a team, like...
Yeah. It's a little crazy. But, it's a new character. It's fun to talk over watching a new character. I'm happy. I'm excited. Can't wait to play the beta in, like, 10 days.
It'll get delayed. Don't worry.
Shut up.
It'll get delayed.
In the meantime, the other game I can play is Halo Infinite. Season 2, Lone Wolves is coming.
All right.
And they have promised a whole host of changes to the game. They heard your complaints, and they said, don't worry. This season, we are taking up a new model, and I think what they said is they're going to introduce a battle pass, but they call it the Infinite Battle Pass.
Okay.
In that you can always earn enough currency to pay for the next battle pass, and none of your battle passes expire.
Huh.
So, like, if the season's over, but you didn't earn everything, you can still get it.
That's cool.
They have new maps, and they've promised that they're going to have more events, like, on the regular.
Just as long as it's not Fiesta, because that shit sucks.
Right, but they're saying, like, more varied events and more stuff. And a couple new game modes. And it's cool. It looks like what Halo Infinite probably should have launched as, in terms of its multiplayer scene. But it got me thinking, like, I guess the main complaint was that there wasn't enough maps and whatnot. The game's been out for, like, 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez. Have we been so spoiled now?
Yes.
Right? Like, because I still remember playing Call of Duty, and like, there was only one map pack DLC.
Hell yeah.
In the year that game came out, and I didn't care. I just fucking grinded the same fucking rounds.
That's all you need, baby.
And yet, I fall into the category of, Halo Infinite's kind of stale. There's nothing new.
Yeah, because I think our tastes have changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where when we were playing Call of Duty before, we were like, we need to get good.
Yeah.
And we need to learn these maps. I don't care. If there's one map, I'll be the best at this map.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But now it's kind of just like, I just want to play Halo and I'll see cool stuff. And I'll throw grenades once in a while.
Yeah. So like, it's cool.
Unless you want to start getting into ranked.
That's what I play. That's all I play. Yeah,
you want to start learning capture the flag throws, throw flags out of bounds so it lands somewhere else on the map. And then.
No.
Hell yeah, brother.
Cannot.
Let's get the grenade angles.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that was Halo Infinite Season 2, Lone Wolves. Short trailer. It's coming. It has some cool looking gear. I think I'm back in. I got to re-download that shit. All
right.
Okay. A game that I initially ignored, or at least dismissed, was Fire Emblem Three Hopes, the Musou title for Fire Emblem.
Three Hopes?
Yeah.
Is it Three Houses?
Three Houses is the first game.
Oh.
Like the strategy RPG. Yeah. Three Hopes is the Musou game.
Okay, okay.
They showed off trailer two, and the interesting thing here is the main character that you play, Baileth, appears to be the antagonist.
Hell yeah.
Although it's probably just a bait and switch, but...
Most likely.
That's cool.
But what if... What if they are?
Then damn.
What if both Byleths exist at the same time, and you have to fight both male and female Byleth?
I'm down. Right. I dig it. Okay. I dig it. Yeah. So... It's the trailer starts off as your standard Musou title. Like, they showed you the main characters are doing stuff.
There's a Yellow Turban Rebellion.
Close enough. But then they start doing some Fire Emblem things. They're like, you can level up your class. You have mastered your class. Upgrade okay. your class.
All right.
There's weapon upgrades and durability and loadouts. Really? You can command your units.
That was the one where I was like, hot damn.
Yeah, I was like, what is this game? And it's now, RTS now I'm feeling a bit more into it.
Okay.
I think it comes out, what, like in a couple months?
Yeah.
Might have to check that shit out. Okay. Looks kind of cool. Yeah. But I think the biggest video game news mm-hmm. is Kingdom Hearts had a 20th anniversary announcement.
Hell trailer. Yeah, they did.
Now, there were three things they showed here. Should we just ignore the first two?
Maybe ignore the first one.
Okay. There's a sequel to the mobile game.
That's the first one.
Yeah. Sequel or expansion? I don't know.
I don't. No, it's not too clear.
Yeah, what's the second part?
The second part is a brand new mobile game.
Okay.
That is all 3D.
Who cares?
That's all 3D.
Yeah.
And it seems to play more in line with like a classic Kingdom Hearts game. You're getting into battles. You're summoning magical powers from like effigies of like Donald Duck and Goofy and Sora and stuff. I think that one looks pretty cool.
I think it's whatever.
If that one is not a gacha and it's like... It's a phone game that I got to pay for standalone. I'm in.
Do those even exist?
I don't know anymore.
Like, do people actually spend money to buy standalone games?
No. I bought standalone phone games before.
Yeah, but now?
Because they don't release any.
Yeah, because that's not how it's done. Yeah, you earn no money.
But, yo, they're on the cutting edge. They already got the gacha game. So then maybe they'll make another so what if they have two? Standalone one.
Two gachas. I'll
be sad.
Two then, gachas.
Then I'll be sad.
They can never have enough gacha.
I guess.
Got a gacha cat them all. Something like that.
I just want like a nice tight experience, you know?
On your mobile phone?
Yeah. I liked what's that one with Framed? Those were good games. Snake Bird was really cool. Monument Valley 1 and 2, those were pretty sick.
Meh. All right.
You know, just like tight little experiences on the go.
Like Angry Birds?
That's a forever experience. That and Candy Crush never ends.
Okay. Yeah, but the big thing is they announced Kingdom Hearts 4. It's got a new look.
Yeah.
Looks real.
It looks Japan.
It looks real.
Looks real.
Yeah, I mean, Sora's in Tokyo for some reason.
Sora is also like of legal drinking age now.
Yeah, he's got smaller shoes.
Yeah. A little less goofy, you know?
Yeah.
Looking like a lot of QTEs in this boss fight they showed.
So Kingdom Hearts?
Modern Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 3, at least. Yeah, I was kind of worried here.
What are you talking about? Kingdom Hearts 2 had a lot of QTEs.
Not as many as 3. 3 went off the rails. Really? Hot damn.
I mean, I guess you're right, but I do remember 2 having a lot of QTEs.
What?
You only press triangle.
Yes. What I'm hoping for
is
that they dial back a little bit on the special cinematic moves that they had in 3.
Nope.
And they bring back a more action-based KH2 style fighting system.
Nope.
God damn, dude.
Nope.
God damn, what the fuck?
The ship has sailed.
Ugh.
No one cares about the gameplay.
I care about the game.
Kingdom Hearts has now become... Let me tell you about the story.
Oh, that's the worst part of Kingdom Hearts.
Have you heard of Ansem?
The wise, the great, the evil? Which one?
Depends. Which one do you want to hear about?
Oh, God. There's so many. The young?
The old? The mute? Yeah.
The one that's locked in Kingdom Hearts, but not really, but he is?
How do you build castles?
What do you build? Scala Al Sanctum, or whatever the fuck that thing is called.
Yeah, so Kingdom Hearts 4, to be fair, it's a brand new tale.
Mm-hmm. It is the new saga, the Lost Keymaster, whatever the fuck it's called.
This is basically...
Fresh start.
Yeah, Star Wars episode...
Whatever.
Yeah. So get excited.
Did you see that people are thinking that they got the Star Wars license?
Yeah.
They saw some AT-AT feet They're like,
Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, who cares?
What do you mean? You can't have one without the other at this point. Dude,
you know I'm a big Star Wars fan, all right? Wow. You know I love AT-STs.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that, now that Disney has acquired every license under the sun, Kingdom Hearts is going to go buck wild.
Yeah, the minute Spider-Man shows up with fucking Sora, like, you're going to lose your
shit. But what Spider-Man?
All the Spider-Man.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
I got to see more. Kingdom Hearts 3 burned me too hard, and then the DLC was sick. And I was like, God damn, they pulled me back in. And now I'm just, I don't know. I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, but you're not going to say no to a new one.
Really?
Really? Because I, having not played Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm already there day one for Kingdom Hearts
4. Yeah, I know. That's why you're a fake fan, dude.
No, I'm a real, I'm the real fan. Because
you don't know. You don't know all the side stories. You don't know about the setup to the Lost Masters.
You don't need to know to appreciate and love something.
Oh, my God.
You don't need to know.
Fake fan over here.
You just got to feel.
Got to feel it within your Kingdom Heart.
Exactly.
God damn.
Look deep into your keyhole.
I can't believe when you walked away from the Kingdom Hearts franchise, you don't hear me say that you're a real fan, all right?
I'm the realest fan.
Please, oh baby, don't go. Do you think Hudada Hikaru will come back for a theme song?
How could she not?
Hell
yeah. It's an easy cash grab.
I don't know. Maybe they'll get like Ayumi Hamazaki or something. They'll get another Big J star.
No, don't. They can't.
It's impossible.
First of all, it's Japan. You never change anything in Japan.
True.
Even if she is like on her last legs in 87, they will still contract her to make a fucking song for Kingdom Hearts 27.
They will get Utada Hikaru's kid to come in.
Like Haley Joel Osment, he's locked in for life.
Dude, he's going to be playing a 12-year-old forever.
I know. Poor guy. He's almost 40. Jeez.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that was the big one. That was pretty cool, though. It was a nice surprise. It kind of came out of nowhere. But I guess I forgot.
Yeah, I really expected the future of Kingdom Hearts to be dog shit, but
wow.
Like relegated to mobile games and whatever. But yeah, I guess they worked something out with Disney. So
I guess they had to. Cool. Do we think there's going to be Final Fantasy in 4? That's the real question.
You know what? I'm going to be a pessimist. I'm going to say no.
No.
I'm going to say that Disney has too much of a stronghold, and they're going to be like, you can have your little anime shit from Kingdom Hearts, but don't bring in the Square properties.
I'm gonna meet you somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're going to have the entire Final Fantasy cast.
No, they never have. But
I think they're only going to have one world.
The Final Fantasy world?
No, it's going to be called Midgard.
Oh, my
God. And it's just 7. Okay. And it's just 7 remake. That's it.
And you get off the train.
Yeah, that's it. Right. That's it. That's only world.
I could see that. Yeah. That'd be the worst possible outcome, but I could see that.
Wait, that's worse than no Final Fantasy?
Probably.
Wow. What a hater. What a hater. Why don't you play these games yet?
I should play them.
The new one's very good.
Okay.
It's very
good. I've been hearing a lot of from my fellow Final Fantasy VII haters and one lover. I've been hearing not so good things about the remake.
But it's not. I guess it's not.
I heard some of the controls are very frustrating in terms of combat when it comes to like fighting flying enemies and stuff.
Okay, let me put it this way. Do you like playing Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah.
It's the same fucking shit.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, spicy.
It's the same thing.
All right, maybe I will have to.
You have even more control.
Maybe I will have to try this for myself.
Yeah. There's definitely no QTEs.
Yeah. My one friend who's like a Final Fantasy VII purist.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate fan. He hates the remake.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I see. Because it's definitely not that game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for sure. In fact, it's kind of like the closest thing I would say is like it's like the Halo show. Where it's like it's absolutely not the original. So, yeah.
All right. Maybe when I get a PS5, I'll get that in the Intergrid or whatever.
Intergrid. Okay, cool. Let's end it there.
Okay.
Bring it to some emails.
And roll it back to the end, baby.
Exactly. All right. Joseph has written in.
Yes.
And he wants some recommendations.
He's jonesing for some recommendations.
Since Anthony had mentioned he was looking for some good media involving female UFC fighting on my last question I asked.
Do people listen to our show? They don't just ask questions and log off?
I thought I'd pass along a Super Eye Patch Wolf video recommendation on a manga called Tepu. He definitely sold me on it, though I haven't had the chance to read it yet. Least I could do is repay all the great recommendations you guys have thrown over the years.
Thank you.
Where do you get most of your anime, manga, game recommendations? AnyTubers, friends, what randomly catches your eye? What elements will skyrocket something to the top of your priority list?
Dude, Pecora gang all day.
No.
Where do we get our recommend? I guess like we do we
anime, manga, place? And game. So the game ones I have a better answer, but for anime, manga's zero. Like I don't have a manga recommendation for anybody. Anime is actually one of the few things where I don't get recommended.
You just keep up.
I've always stuck the same rule. New season, I look at all the posters, which one appeals to me the most, and right. I pick it.
And you just pick a random?
Yeah, pretty much. Like obviously I look at studios. Sometimes I'll go as far as like, who are the directors? Yeah.
Oh, Ufotable's making something. I better watch it.
Obviously, yeah, obviously. I'll keep that on track. But in truth, I don't actually get anime recommendations from anywhere.
Dude, you're just that cultured.
I wouldn't say that because I would say a lot of my picks don't turn out to be that great. So I just... Yeah. Like,
you really dropped it on the Fate series, that's for sure.
Like some... Whoa, wow. Like sometimes I get some real winners, and then sometimes I'm just like, this is shit, and I'm going to continue. Hello, domestic girlfriend.
Hello. Spicy. The spiciest.
Yeah, as for game, I mean, I still keep up with the gaming industry to a certain extent. Lot of podcasts, and I guess just the YouTube algorithm.
The algorithm.
It's got me by the balls.
It's got everyone by the balls. Even if you don't have balls, put them there and grab them.
Yeah.
I would say for anime, my recommendations are you.
Okay.
Just because I don't really watch or keep up with that stuff. Manga, though, I have from a couple other friends who read a lot of manga, so they recommend me some stuff. But actually, I don't recommend going to this place, all right? But I have gotten some good recommendations from this website. You may have heard of it before. It's called 4chan.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah. It's either 2chan or 4chan.
2chan's a shithole. Don't go to 2chan. 2chan's a shithole.
You never know, though.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes there's some real gems in there.
Yeah. Real rough ones. But 4chan, the anime and manga board, is usually pretty good on that shit. Don't stay there too long because it's a cesspool. But usually they got some pretty good manga recommendations. That's where I got like Boys Abyss, the Tenkaichi, that stuff.
Yeah, Bukai, yeah.
Surprisingly, for manga recommendation, Instagram reels have been very good.
What?
Yeah.
Get out.
My algorithm on Instagram has just a lot of manga recommendations where people will just like post art from manga panels.
Oh, and then you just look at the art.
And then I look at what the title is, and I'm like, oh, this does sound pretty cool, and like stuff like that. So you just kind of go from there. And like you said, Vince, with anime, for me with manga, it is a lot of just like, this looks cool. It's appealing to the eye. I'll read it. And sometimes it doesn't work, and I don't talk about it on the show. Sometimes I enjoy it, and I do talk about it on the show. And in terms of games, I still keep up with game news. Like, I know a lot. Like, it's really hard now with a lot of indie stuff coming out that doesn't get a lot. And it's like, oh, look, like, Vampire Survivors. Nobody talked about it until whatever. So a lot of that, too, is, like, what's big on streaming right now? Like, what's big on Twitch? What's big on YouTube streaming? Yeah, right? What are all the kids playing these days?
Yeah.
What are they watching Valkyrie and Pokimane play?
Yeah.
But I still keep up with news. I still have, like, my choice set of gaming news websites that I check pretty much daily.
Which ones are those?
I still go to Polygon. I've totally written off Kotaku. Video Game Chronicles is pretty good. Who else is good? Gamesindustry.biz. Mm-hmm. I really like that. That's the more deep cut stuff. I'm still on Giant Bomb once in a while. Listen to a podcast. See what's going on in their quick looks and stuff like that. Yeah, and maybe I go on some forums.
Right. Oh, yeah. I tend to check out my gaming news at Forbes.
Forbes. The cultured man, the businessman's game.
They have this one guy who literally is, like, specializes in mecha toys and shit.
Nice.
He's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah, and then there's the classics. There's like Resetera, and what's the other one?
in gaming news?
No, the other forum that Resetera splintered off from because
I have no idea.
It was all like in the 1UP days. They always went on that one gaming forum. What is it called? Damn, I don't remember.
Oh, where you needed a real email to get in?
Yeah.
And you couldn't get in?
I couldn't get in.
Oh, I bet that must have ate at you.
It's killed me, dude.
Yeah. NeoGAF.
NeoGAF, that's the one. NeoGAF and Resetera, there's still a lot of people who go there. Waypoint's really good once in a while. They have a lot of good editorial.
Is it good? Yeah.
Like, I'm going to say it's more misses than hits. But once in a while, they have some pretty good, like, editorials that are
now, are you reading these sites because you like the content they're bringing you or because they give you just the news?
I'm reading Polygon because they give me the news.
Okay, yeah, because that's why I have IGN. Because if I just want the news, I find IGN's the best conglomerate for getting everything.
Probably. You're probably right. Yeah. It's just I don't like anybody on.
Yeah, but like I don't read.
I have this like kind of wide. I even read like websites I don't like mostly, like Vice, like Waypoint, just because they give me a different perspective on like what's happening. They'll highlight certain things that are different from other websites. Lately with like Elden Ring and shit, not really. It's just Elden Ring all day. Here's how to beat the Tree Sentinel or whatever.
I beat that guy.
Did you? Level one? Wretch. No. Level one wretch.
No way.
Tree Sentinel run.
No, I was like level 100.
Did you see the speed run record for that game now?
Yeah.
It's under 10 minutes.
Did you see the... Oh, God. There's a person out there, and their name is literally Let Me Solo, and it's called Let Me Solo Her. Like, that's his username.
Yeah.
And he shows up at the door to the final boss.
And he just solos
the final boss. And he solos it for you.
That's hilarious. He's doing, like, runs? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's so sick. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So you just sit on the side... And this guy just solos the last boss for you.
Dude, I used to do that in MMOs.
Yeah.
So in Guild Wars, when you made new characters, you had to run to different city centers. Yeah. And what I would do is I had this ranger. It was literally called the Runner.
Yeah.
And I would get level ones.
Mm.
I'd tell them it costs like X amount of gold for me to run you to Lion's Arch, which is like the main hub city.
Yeah.
And so give me half now and then half when we get there.
Mm.
And I would just do that. I'd be like, stay at the portal, don't move. And I would just run all the way to Lion's Arch so that they could warp properly to the main place.
Cool.
It's pretty sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I read a lot of these things to get back on topic. Just because they offer a variety of different opinions.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think those opinions are bad. Sometimes I think those opinions are good.
Yeah.
But very rarely have they been all bad, which is why I stopped reading Kotaku.
Yeah. Actually, I'll say something. I do get some recommendations, like for games and anime, sometimes via Twitter.
Yeah.
Like just going through the feeds, being like, what's this shit you're watching or playing? And it's like, oh, that's kind of cool.
I follow our listeners, and sometimes they'll have some like cool retweets and shit.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll peek in, I'll be like, what's going on in the toy front over there? What's happening on Vince's Twitter timeline? And see some people throwing some links up.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of exploration. That's how we get our stuff.
Yeah. To be honest, I think in the past couple of years, it's been probably easier just because we're all at home.
Yeah.
And everyone's just posting shit. And you're just sitting here being like, I'm going to just look at this too.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I've been finding that now that I'm going back to like office life again and commuting, I actually have no time to check my socials anymore.
Let me tell you about a secret internet trick that you can use to get all your feeds in one place.
This sounds disgusting.
It's called an RSS feed.
Google killed that years ago.
I know. Just make a custom RSS feed to get all the headlines to your one directory.
Mm-hmm. I have that. It's called Feedly.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Just make your own, dude. Be free from the man.
What man?
from big RSS, you know?
Oh, God. At some point, you just got to cool off and be like, you know what? I'll give you your dollar.
All right, fine.
Stupid.
But yeah, if you want to be like us, which you don't do that.
Don't be like us.
Yeah, just sometimes pick things at random, honestly. Just pick up a book, dude.
Take a chance.
So, you know how I find a lot of my music? I go to the library and I judge a CD by its cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I just listen to the radio.
That's terrible. Don't do that.
Actually, I listen to the digital radio.
I listen to the radio too. You know, 91.1 Jazz.
I don't even know actual radio stations anymore.
102.1 The Edge.
I have no idea.
Really?
I just go on Apple Music, or before it was Spotify.
101.5 The Hawk.
And it's just, this is the station. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. Mm-hmm, cool. This is the anime station. I'm here. Cool. Nice. Wicked. Awesome. You want to take the sixth from Paul?
Yeah, I do. All right. Paul has a question to chew on. What are some things that are now obsolete that you either thought were the peak of advancement or that they were evergreen and would never go away? I'll tell you something that is obsolete now that I still use.
GPS.
No.
Oh.
MP3 players.
Oh, fuck. Well, hold on. You mean specifically like a dedicated
MP3 player.
Then I would put a GPS thing in the same category.
I never thought that there would be a day where your phone would get so powerful that you could have everything in one device.
Yeah.
Like the thing is your GPS, it is your music player, it is your social media, it is your internet browser, it's a game console.
Yeah.
It's anything you could ever want it to be, and most people only use like 10% of their phone. It's so much more powerful than anybody has the capability of using it for. But I still use my iPod Touch.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
What else do you think that was evergreen or you thought was the peak and could never get better?
I always thought that like the Palm Pilot would stick around for a long time.
What the fuck is a Palm Pilot? What was the Palm Pilot?
Am I that much older than you?
Oh, shit. This was like, you are that much older than me.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This was at a point where technology was advancing so quickly that I think that I was just a bit too young to have this latch into my brain as like a technological memory.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah. I thought those, like, when I was younger, I was like, fuck, can't wait till I can buy one of these. And then by the time I got to the age, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, we have smartphones. Yeah. And now we have smartphones we just throw around like they're garbage.
Yeah. So $1,000 phones that we get for $50 a month.
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, just toss it over here. Whatever. It's good.
That's still wild to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that are obsolete now, peak of advancement, and they were evergreen and never go away. I guess the easy answer for me is a watch, mm-hmm. like a traditional wristwatch. They have been at the peak of advancement since like the 60s.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
iWatch.
And they've never gone away.
It is one of those things that I don't know if the analogness can be replaced.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
And also, like you said this before to me, but like watches now are just like a pissing contest of engineering.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm just like, we made this in the most complicated and complex way you could ever think of.
Yeah, I know.
And also you'll never see it because it's encased in steel.
I know. Like it's, yeah, I love that. I just love the whole idea behind a modern watch today. It's like,
it's just engineers being like, well, you think you use 20 cogs? Well, I use 25 cogs. Yeah. Suck my dick.
Like, it's just like one of those, like, it's literally one of the few things, beside from just straight out jewelry,
mm-hmm.
that is like, nah, this is just fuck you time. Like, if you see, it's like, it's literally just a fuck you watch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's it. That's all its purpose is.
Probably not even set. Not even wound. It's just there to look cool.
The amount of people who are like, yeah, I don't know, it's dead. Yeah, like that shit, and I'm like, okay, well, cool.
I recently, like, not recently, but I got mine in those pocket watch.
Yeah.
I'm like, I should bring back.
That's cool. That's cool.
I should get a chain for that.
I was going to say, you can wear it on a chain and then put on a waistcoat so you can wear it on the fucking.
I should.
Jeez.
I should. Because it still works. It's wind up. You click the top and the lid pops open.
Yeah, you should check what the the accuracy on that is.
Probably dog shit.
Are you, like, losing 5 minutes a day?
Yeah,
like,
probably. I wouldn't doubt it. Just from World War II.
You know it's taking a beating. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. You know, before the rise of electric vehicles,
mm-hmm.
I thought that cars would always be, like, gas-powered.
They would just get more and more efficient.
Yeah.
Until you're like, oh, I put a drop of gas in.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that's what the goal would be. But I didn't realize that, like, engine efficiency would hit, a capacity limit so early in terms of what can be done. Like, I think the most advanced combustion engines are still only 50% efficient in terms of converting fuel to power or energy. And those are hybrids. So, like, pure gas cars are still...
I guess it's kind of hard to contain an explosion.
Yeah, but, like, it's... Like, and don't get me wrong, it's crazy. Like, you buy a gas-powered car today and compare it to ones that you get even from, like, the 90s, world of difference.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
But my Ford Taurus does not get as many miles as a new car.
Yeah, but still, it's crazy to think that that technology really hasn't moved on. Like, it just...
Explosion in a giant steel block.
Yeah, combustion is just whatever.
Moves a piston. I guess, like, for... You'd have to, like, lower speed limits for it to be more efficient, right?
I don't, in that way? So I don't know about if that's the cause. Like, because what gets lost into combustion is you get heat and you get noise. That's where most of it goes.
Yeah.
But converting those two into usable energies, like...
Sound-powered engines.
Yeah, like, when you hear a really loud car, that doesn't necessarily mean it's fast. It just means it could be...
It's expending a lot of
energy. Yeah, it's wasting a lot of energy. That's why, like... The fastest cars in the world, love it or hate it, are silent.
I know.
Right? That's why electric cars are so fast. Because they're so efficient.
Because they're just converting electricity into power. Yeah, yeah.
But even electric cars, I don't think that they're at the peak of advancement. I think that
we have a
long way to go. And I don't even know if electric in the way that we know of it today will be the everlasting technology.
Nuclear-powered cars, maybe. Yeah.
I think now, especially because we're older and we just have a better understanding of the world, I don't think there's any more technology that I see today and being like, we're going to keep this forever. I don't think that's a...
It's one of those things that, like, maybe around, like, 2005... Nah, like, 2010, technology has been increasing in complexity and efficiency so quickly that I'm like... I don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about quantum computing. Like, they can't make chips faster because the diodes are so tiny that electricity is escaping and jumping to other ones in ways that they've never imagined before.
No, absolutely.
And shit like that. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's insane.
I think something that's been stagnant for the past couple of years, or not a couple of years, but a couple of decades, that kind of blows my mind. No. Is anything to do with... like sound engineering.
Okay.
Like the idea that we're still running these cables, these XLR cables.
It's the best way.
Yeah, I know it is. But it's been this way for how long?
Wireless HDMI when?
Exactly, right? Like, I'm amazed that we still run cables for a lot of
under the ocean
media creation or content consumption.
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind. To be honest, I thought we would have been at that stage where we don't have video game consoles already, but we're not. I don't know.
I don't know if that's going to be for a while unless you want a Monopoly.
I do. yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's cool. I don't know. I'm not too sure.
The future is weird.
Yeah.
In the rule from living these past couple of years.
Yeah.
Nothing is evergreen. Almost nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. I don't think
except for this podcast, baby. No.
Oh wow. Oh, that's
90 years old.
Bleh.
Welcome. We got a new mobility scooter review.
Bleh. Bleh. Whatever. Anyways, let's go to our weeks. Let me start things off.
Okay.
I've watched 3 episodes of Moon Knight.
Ooh, you continued.
Yes, I did. Because I have that subscription, I might as well use it. You know that thing in the first episode where, like, oh man, it's cool how when he blinks. And then he just kind of teleports because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, they won't do that again?
Yeah.
They do it again.
Oh, they do.
Under different circumstances.
Huh.
And it's really cool. And it absolutely explains a lot of the character.
Nice.
I don't know if the show's gotten more interesting for me, but it's got me hooked enough to be like, I'll see it through.
Okay.
I'm
glad to see that it hasn't just, like, completely fallen off after, like, 3 episodes.
Yeah, like, there's parts of it where I'm like, oh, this is kind of just fucking lame. Okay. But a lot of it is pretty cool. What I will say is that on the other side, I've been watching Halo. And Halo is awesome.
Okay. All right.
Cortana, as we have seen in the first 2 episodes, is not her final form. And when she gets to her final form,
right,
it's literally Cortana from the game. Oh. Like, same voice actor and everything. Okay. You thought seeing Master Chief take off the helmet was groundbreaking?
Cortana takes off her pants.
Master Chief takes off his pants.
What the fuck?
And you see his ass.
Why?
Dude, I'm not going to tell you why.
Dude, I'm tired of males being objectified in media. All right? It's fucked up.
Dude is jacked. I mean, we knew this.
Like, I just saw his face. I'm like, that guy's jacked.
Like, I know, but like, let me tell you, he bears it all.
Oh, God.
Okay? He bears.
How big is Master Chief's dick? That's what I need to know. What is the circumference of his balls?
Let's just say it ain't a needler.
Oh, my God. I fucking hate you. God damn. End the podcast. What the fuck? Oh, that's so dumb.
Got him.
Oh, I hate it, but it's a good joke. Why?
It's such a good show. I think this show is so awesome.
Just to suffer.
This show is so awesome.
God damn.
I love this show. Right. It's so good. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went back and I looked up like what the original Halo games were about. And to be honest, it's actually not that far off. The only difference is
at the legs blown off.
I would say that whereas in the first like the original games, because you were so focused on like being the hero, mm-hmm. the way they tell the story and stuff is just not as focused. Like they don't really give you that insight onto the UNSC.
It's just you're fucking sick. Yeah. Hell yeah.
But that's not to say the UNSC did not have its sort of evil big corporate political dramas behind
and
it.
And a lot of that stuff was in like the holotapes and like,
absolutely.
The hidden shit behind,
and
the text logs.
It's in the extended novels and stuff. So it's there. But I think the thing that, really influenced this game's narrative is that I forgot about how Bungie made the original Halos.
Mm-hmm.
The new ones are by 343. And 343 were the main consulting on this. And that explains everything because 343 did 4 to now.
And they went off the rails.
They did. And like that makes a whole... It's almost like the biggest Halo fans kind of rewrote what they thought this should be.
What the first game should be.
Yeah. And so with that kind of context, it probably makes more sense. I'm not trying to defend it if you don't like it, but I fucking love it.
Didn't 343 used to make like sports games?
343? No, yeah. That's 989.
989, that was it.
You're losing it, man.
Dude, I'm losing my
mind.
Do
I gotta take your card?
No.
343 was specifically made to make Halo games.
989 They've made nothing was else. Sports games.
Dude, what's going on? You're losing it. What's going on?
I'm just getting more interested in anime, you know?
Whoa.
I'm coming for the king. Oh,
don't you dare. Don't you dare. Yeah, so that's that. I've been going back to Gran Turismo 7. Mm-hmm. They had patch 1.11 or patch 11. I don't know. And this is the patch that addresses all the complaints.
Yeah. We made it worse.
Yo, I logged in and I now have like 26 million credits.
One time?
So if you play the game at launch, they just give you a million.
Okay.
But what they did is they rebalanced all the races and all the course events. So if you did them, they rebalanced it so that you get more credits.
And they retroactively gave you the difference? Damn. Uh-huh. Okay.
They have it so that now the legend cars that rotate out, instead of only having 5 at a time, they have 10, and they rotate more often, so you can get your stuff.
Okay.
Same with the used car lot. They added more events, and they added a new addition of mission modes that are just endurance events. So they gave you like 8 endurance events.
Yeah.
So it's a good start, and they said that this is like their starting phase of like the content they have planned, but this is relatively small for what they envision is happening in the next couple months.
That's kind of crazy that they could be able to retroactively give you those credits.
Yeah.
And it kind of just shows how much data these games pull from you now. It's like, we know exactly what races you did, how many times you did them. We know when you did them. And then we can like calculate like what place you came in to give you the more appropriate. That's insane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is one of those things where it's like,
They got my social insurance number, don't they?
So if the fan base didn't complain, nothing would have changed. You always had this plan. Okay, cool.
Exactly.
But so it's cool. They changed the driving physics slightly, so it's easier to... There was this weird thing on dirt races where the car literally decided to do whatever the fuck it wanted on jumps.
Yeah.
Like, you could never predict what was going to happen. So they fixed that. That's good. Fixed some of the physics models. Yeah, and they fixed a little bit of the online competitive balance in terms of what corners you can cut now. Mm-hmm. They've made it a bit more strict. Still not where I would want it to be, but they have said that they're gonna tighten things more. And they've yet to add new tracks and new cars, which they said are probably going to be the next update. So it's fun to see them, I guess, make the game better.
Mm-hmm.
I still think if you want to play this game, wait out till after the summer. I think by then there'll probably be enough updates and patches to
be worth it,
I think.
All right. Okay.
But the big game I played was the beta for Gundam Evolution.
Dude.
What?
I didn't play any.
I didn't play any. Anthony, do you like Overwatch?
No.
But do you like Overwatch?
Like, it's fun for a little bit.
Well, this game is Overwatch.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
And I mean, this game is Overwatch.
I saw some Twitch plays.
Yeah.
Some Twitch channels. That game is fucking Overwatch.
I mean, setup is Overwatch, but even the Gundams are the same characters.
That's crazy.
The first character they give you is the Pale Rider. Pale Rider is such a cool suit.
Okay.
It's literally Soldier 76. You got the auto machine gun. You don't have the missile, but you have a grenade. Same okay. shit. And then you have the fucking heal canister.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay.
It's the same thing. His ultimate is not auto target, mm-hmm. but effectively gives you a superpower gun that
okay.
has slightly snap to
mm-hmm.
aiming. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't really feel like I need to explain too much of how this game, like the deeper mechanics, because it's literally, if you've seen Overwatch, which is 6 years old by now, so yeah. you probably know what Overwatch is.
You've played this game.
I mean, there are differences. Like, for example, everybody has a dash because you're a Gundam, right? And you have jets. You also have the ability to glide because you have thrusters.
Mm-hmm.
You can't outright fly, but there are some Gundams that can transform into their, like, bird mode or jet mode. I saw one
where, like, his torso came off, flew around, and then stunned an enemy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the core fighter came out. Yeah. Yeah, that's the original Gundam. So it's cool. One of them is, like, Zarya. Like, you got the bubble
mm-hmm.
thing. It's not a bubble, but it's the same effect.
The real question I have is this game close enough to be a copyright issue? Because it's sounding pretty close.
Like, I'm amazed. Like, I gotta know if there is, like, did they make just enough changes so that they couldn't be sued? Because even the UI yeah. is hella Overwatch.
Is Jeff Kaplan working on this game?
I wouldn't be surprised. Even, like, the unlocks you get, mm-hmm. like, you get emotes and stickers. The cool thing is the skins make sense, like, the different skins, because everyone knows Gundams always come in, like, a billion different colors.
Yeah, yeah, different versions.
And they really, like, very attentive to the fan base. They know which colors are popular or, like, and they're there as, like, legendary skins. And it's like, oh, I really wanted, like, you know, the original Gundam, right?
Yeah.
There's a version called the G3 where it's, like, gray with purple.
Okay.
It's there. It's a legendary skin.
Hmm.
They have a Zaku too, but we all know you want the red one. Of course. That's a legendary skin.
Of course you want the Zaku.
Right? I think they have a version of Exia that's always in Trans Am.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And they have one that's deactivated. So, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Gundam in deactivated mode.
No.
They lose all their color. They're just gray.
Oh.
And they have no eyes. That's cool. Because it looks like they're off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exia's in it. Exia is fucking Genji.
Nice.
It is wild.
Melee?
Yeah. Sick. And they, you know, Genji throws shurikens?
Yeah.
Exia throws daggers. Like, two daggers.
Dude. Instead of three shurikens, two daggers.
Exia has a dash with a slash
in it. Did China make this game? This shit sounds bootleg as fuck. What the hell?
Holy.
But is it going to overtake Overwatch? Because you love Gundam.
So here's the thing. If Overwatch does not come out anytime soon,
yeah,
like, this game needs to come out immediately. That's what I think.
Okay.
To get an audience. Because the minute Overwatch 2 is out, I don't think people will be playing this.
How many Gundam loot boxes are you going to buy?
I don't know. It depends on the suit.
A lot.
There's a lot of different characters, and, like, I haven't gravitated to. There's one that I really like. It's the Barbatos. Mm-hmm. It doesn't play like anybody. It's It's weird. Barbara is kind of OP, to be honest. It's, I think, Reinhardt's hammer.
Yeah.
But
it's a sword.
Instead of having a shield, they gave you jetpacks.
So you dash? Or and fly?
You can jump. And then you can do the Zelda, like, stab.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And, like, if you hit someone, kill. If you don't, it's AoE. So it's ridiculous. Oh. Yeah.
Nice.
And then his like, ultimate is, I don't know if you remember, it's like Genji's, where it's the sword,
mm-hmm.
but every slash has a dash.
Mm-hmm.
So you just run through people.
Okay.
It's too powerful. It's way too powerful. Some of them are cool, though, like, because some of them, you get a shield, and you can shoot with the shield.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is the shield only blocks the area that it's facing. Mm-hmm. So if you go around, you can flank and take him out. It's really cool. Like, they've paid attention to specific Gundams and their specific abilities without making any of them feel too niche to get a hold of.
And it sounds like they're not like too changed from what you think they could do in the show.
Absolutely. Like if you play the X Age, you're like, oh man, I just want Trans Am. You got it. It's nice. There, right?
Okay.
If you wanted to play the original Gundam and you wanted the mace, it's there. Like. Mm-hmm. It's cool. I have not seen a lot of beam sabers, which is kind of weird because the game doesn't have a quick melee, which is so...
So even up close, you're just shooting people.
Yeah.
Weird.
And it's so weird because, like, I felt like it was missing something. And then I realized, like, yeah, how come there's no beam sabers? Like, beam sabers are...
Staple.
Yeah, I would say, like, that's probably more important than any gun that's DLC. In Gundam. Yeah, because that's a quick melee thing, right?
Yep.
But the only melee options are Gundams whose armament is melee, which like Exia or Barbatos, but otherwise, none. So that's a little weird. I have to admit, it's not as polished as Overwatch. Like, when you play Overwatch, you're like, oh, this is definitely a big...
This is a multi-million-dollar game.
Yeah, like, people, like someone was tasked to make sure that there's not a jagged edge on this wall.
Mm-hmm.
Gundam Evolution does not have the polish.
It is the beta.
It is the beta. But I'm surprised it doesn't look... Like, I'm surprised it looks as... I don't want to say it looks bad, but it definitely doesn't look...
Like Overwatch.
It doesn't even look modern.
Oh.
Like, I would say it looks like a last-gen title.
Looks like a Warhawk.
Doesn't look that bad. Okay. Doesn't look that bad. But it definitely looks like a base PS4 game.
Okay.
Okay? So, keep that in mind. Because, like... Yeah, I'm running at max settings. It's running at, like... 200 frames, so it's definitely not pushing anybody's system.
Hmm.
So yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's cool. I hope it comes out really soon.
Should.
Yeah.
Just to get ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. Because the minute Overwatch 2 is out, I don't think anybody's playing this. But it's a good
arena shooter.
Yeah, I kinda really. Yeah, it's very easy, right? It's just it's fun. It's good.
Overwatch is very easy.
Exactly. All right, that's my week.
All right, I did a lot of little stuff. But first, I have to confess to the listeners.
All
right, I have a confession. The past 2 weeks, okay, maybe three, I haven't said all that has been going on in my week. I may have left something out. Okay. I had relapsed into League of Legends.
You didn't even write this on the show notes.
I didn't, because I know I feel I need to come clean.
You do, Anthony.
I do.
Because I know you've been saying this off air, too.
Yeah. I've been playing League. I'm sorry, listeners. I betrayed you. All right? But I've been playing League of Legends.
Are you here to tell us that you've uninstalled it?
I've uninstalled the game. Oh. I'm free, okay? All right? I had a moment of weakness. Please don't think differently of me. And it's the reason that I've only done a little bit of all these things on my list.
Wow, it makes sense why you've been doing nothing in your room. I was wondering, like, what's going on with this guy? Yeah. Usually has a lot of stuff to talk about.
And I went the extra length, dude. My friends from college wanted to play, and I was like, you know, I'll show you the ropes. Right?
Wait, did you block
them? They're all Dota kids.
Oh.
So what happened was I made a new account because they were getting rolled by my MMR.
Yeah?
So I had made a new account, a Smurf account, to play with my friends. Show them the ropes. And I'm not proud of myself. All right.
Shouldn't be.
I shouldn't. You're right.
You abandoned the cause.
But the temptation was too great. and I started playing on my main account again.
Oh!
And then I started playing ranked. And then I got to gold promos.
Oh, no.
And then I lost 10 games in a row. And I, and I uninstalled the game. And I was like, oh, I remember why I don't play this game. Because it's a fucking coin toss. Holy shit. I had, in those 10 games, no word of a lie, 5 were AFK. Half were AFK.
That's what I like to hear.
And then the out of the other 5, one, I'll admit, one or two, I fed my ass off. All right? I was playing a new role. My fault. My bad.
Dude, what?
Yeah. But the other ones, bruh, just... We win our lane. Win lane, lose game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Win lane.
Wow.
And I just, I couldn't. After 5, no joke, 5 AFKs.
Yeah.
They join the match, and then they leave at 1:30. That's when jungle monsters spawn.
Yeah.
So that you're not allowed to get the remake option, which means you lose 0 LP. So the best we can do is surrender at 10 minutes and then lose like 7 LP. So I'm losing LP. I'm losing rank. For these games, these people didn't play.
Nice.
It's terrible. Holy nice. Shit.
Nice.
Oh. Abs and they buffed all my favorite dudes and oh, it was so fun. Man, they gave
so fun.
They gave Rammus a jump. It's pretty sick. But yeah, and but I deleted it this week. I'm finally free. I told my friends, listen, if you guys want to play, I'll watch you guys through Discord. But and like I'll give you some tips, but I can't play anymore. I can't do it. I don't have the willpower not to play by myself. I like that game a lot, but it's like a drug, dude. It's bad.
Why don't you just embrace your addiction?
No.
Just fully commit.
Absolutely not.
Just stop everything else.
Just play League.
And
become a partnered League streamer.
Absolutely. Just go all the way.
No.
Could be fun. Could be lucrative.
It could be.
I'll give you a dollar.
You give me a dollar. Hot damn.
Yeah.
I'm a pro streamer now, baby. give me a Prime sub.
Nah, that's too much.
Dude, that's free. It's literally free.
No, but then that's going to be on my account that says I gave you that.
Hell yeah. No. You're going to have to stop subbing to Pokimane first.
Impossible.
The queen.
Impossible.
Tier 4 sub.
She's got a permanent spot in my wallet. All
right. So I've been playing games. I started 13 Sentinels.
Oh boy.
Vanillaware makes very pretty games.
Oh boy.
What are you old boy? And I haven't even got to like what I'm thinking about it yet. What are you doing an old boy for?
Oh boy.
Oh God. I like this game.
Do you?
I like this game so far. The story of the Sentinels.
Okay.
Somebody being, I still don't know why they're being summoned.
Don't worry, you will.
I'll eventually learn.
Listen, it doesn't come together until like
the end,
like 60%.
I like the thought bubble system.
Oh yeah.
Where you're talking to somebody, and then it'll remind your character of something, and then you can ask them that, and then like objects can connect to different characters who can, and all the dialogue lines kind of like flow really smoothly, which is really cool. It's like they give you, it's like, it feels like a natural conversation. It doesn't feel too scripted, which is really
right.
Nice, especially in a visual novel.
Yeah.
And just like you guys said, the combat portions of those games, very simple, not hard at all.
Yeah.
But I do like the stylization of just like, you're looking at a radar.
Oh, yeah, it's not the actual...
Yeah, it's not the robot. Yeah. You're just, like, looking at a radar. And yeah. I honestly think that's really cool.
Yeah, you're just on the command center, and you're like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you could say, like, oh, they cheaped out. They didn't want to animate robots or whatever. Yeah, sure. But I think that's a really cool stylistic choice. Mm. I really like it. So I'm going to go through that. I don't think it's that long. What is it, like, 11 hours?
No. Hours?
Is it long?
It's long.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. Maybe I'll...
Ugh. You're in for a ride.
Oh no. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how far
you're
I get to the visual
novel.
You're
in for a road trip. Cross country.
Damn.
Maybe back.
Okay. The other thing I've been doing is I got finally, after over a year of waiting, I got my Scott Pilgrim versus the World the Game special edition in from Limited Run Games.
Yeah.
I got to talk about the special edition because this shit is insane. So first off, it comes in like a band roadie suitcase.
Okay.
Right? You know those black suitcases with the silver? Yeah. It comes in that. You flip the latches, open the lid. It's a pop-up, like a pop-up book, of Sexpa Bomb. And it plays music from the game, the Onomatoguchi songs. And it has like LED lights that go with the music.
That sounds pretty cool.
So it's pretty cool. You then lift that up. You have, it comes with two drumsticks, and on the drumsticks are animation cells from Scott and Ramona.
Yeah.
It's got this really sick in-depth art book. They think they did an interview with the creator, John Lee O'Malley, talking about the game, how the game like just it kind of took over his life after it was delisted and stuff like that. Like really in-depth behind the scenes shit. That's really cool. Soundtrack, all this cool shit. It's just like a really well put together edition. I really like it. It's almost like a display piece. Like I'd put it on top of a shelf and take it down and do all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
But the game, I forgot how hard that game is in the beginning.
Yeah, it is pretty tough.
As a beat 'em up, like beat 'em ups are usually kind of tough, but in this game you level up. You can get different snacks. You use your Canadian loonies to go buy tacos in Toronto and do a bunch of cool stuff. But starting off that game at level one, I forgot how kind of unforgiving it is.
Pretty weak.
It probably doesn't help that I think I started on hard just because it was like, I beat this game on normal before. I'll go back and do whatever.
Who are you playing as?
Scott.
Oh, okay.
Scott. I think, everybody's unlocked. I think in the original... if you wanted to play Knives, you had to connect your Uplay account.
I forget. Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. But in this one, Knives is just there. But they got everyone. They got Steven Stills. They got Ramona, Scott. he plays Knives. Who's the drummer girl? The redheaded, his ex-girlfriend.
I forget. Yeah.
She plays her. But that game is beautiful. Like the pixel art in that game is second to none. Holy moly.
It was cool when it came out.
What's the guy who did that? It was like Scott.
This was originally on the PS3.
Yes, it was on the PS3, and then it got Paul Robertson. Paul Robertson does a lot of not safe for work pixel art.
Well, well, well.
Yeah. But the stuff he's doing here is insane. I forgot just how detailed the world is when people take damage or objects take damage. Like the amount of animation in just each character, each object is crazy. Love the way that game looks. And the Onomatoguchi soundtrack is just a banger. Like everything
cool.
Yeah. It's if you don't know who Paul Robertson is, he made a lot of like older Flash animations that are crazy. The one I really like is Pirate Babies Cabana Battle Street Fight 2006.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's... What's the other one? It's like 10,000%. What was that one called? I can look it up later. But he just makes a lot of like really off-the-wall, surreal pixel art, and his skill like shined in this game. It looks... Very,
pretty cool.
Very good. I'm really enjoying it. I got to World 2 before I put it down, but
I'm pretty sure this game is significantly easier if you're playing with somebody.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Because that's how I remember that's how I played it.
Yeah, and I think I only played it with other people.
Yeah, because I've never played this game solo, so I don't know if it scales. But yeah,
it's a little brutal. Okay. I'm not gonna lie, it's a little brutal. And then the last thing I've been doing is because the big spring sale. Happened or is happening on PSN.
Okay.
I ended up buying the Ninja Gaiden collection.
Again. Why?
Because I love those games, right?
Oh, God.
So the Ninja Gaiden collection is Ninja Gaiden 1.
I swear to God, you play like the same. You literally just play five games.
Dude, what are you talking about?
You play League.
Okay.
And then you play this
Ninja Gaiden 3 Ninja Gaidens. Yeah.
Sometimes you'll throw in a Devil May Cry if you're feeling a little spicy.
Yeah, a little spicy, you know?
But
I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I've talked about Ninja Gaiden a lot and how I love it, and it's some of my favorite games in the whole world.
Oh, I know. I've been there for all those conversations. Yeah.
The Ninja Gaiden collection is Ninja Gaiden Sigma 1, Sigma 2, and Razor's Edge 3.
Oh, so the good ones.
Debatable. So Razor's Edge 3 is...
Wait, the, Razor's Edge is not better than...
Is the best version of 3.
I was going to say. That is for sure. Oh, okay.
But in the Ninja Gaiden community...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying Black is better than Sigma.
People love Black. And people love OG Xbox 360 2.
Okay, fair enough.
Because there are some differences in those games. A, there's no bonus boss fights. You don't play as Rachel. You don't play as other characters. And B, people feel that the games kind of are more streamlined. They run better.
Fair enough. Right? I would agree. But then you can't get Black on PlayStation.
You cannot. You can get Black on the Xbox Backward Compatibility Store.
Yeah.
And you can play it. It's like 4K upscale.
That sounds cool.
It's sick. It's very cool. But I personally, I like the Sigma games better. Mostly better than the originals.
Yeah.
Mainly because I do like the Rachel content in 1. I think the Demon Hunter stuff is very fun. It's a lot different than Ryu. You're not flying around doing teleports and shit and Zuna dropping people, but it's a lot more methodical. Like you're flipping over people.
I remember the first time they gave me, I got unlocked her, I was like, this game is so hard now.
How do I play her? I have to relearn. Oh god. In Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, there's no gore. They took out all the blood.
Did they really?
Yeah, in Sigma 2 they took out all the blood. Like when people get decapitated, it's like a pink mist that comes out of their head.
Oh,
right. There's less enemies on screen, so there's no, you're not facing like 30 people at once.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Just because I think at the time to use the updated engine they were doing, like the PS3 couldn't handle that many characters on screen, and even the 360 couldn't handle that many characters on screen.
Yeah.
So they went for a more stable frame rate rather than just like chaos.
For sure.
So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I do like some of the additions they made of like new weapons and new bosses. You fight the Statue of Liberty. That's pretty sick.
Okay. I mean, yeah, sure. Right. Take our victories where we can. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the big gore thing is a shot in the face there, but that kind of sucks.
That is weird. Cause like when I think of Ninja Gaiden, all I think about is the gore.
But Razor's Edge 3.
Especially that one.
That one is brutal.
That one is just comically gory.
Yeah.
it's God.
It's kind of nutty. And in that game, you can play as Ayane, you can play as Kasumi, you can play as Momiji. Oh,
that's right. You can play as the ninja girls.
Yeah. And they all have their own upgrade trees.
Yeah.
So the big thing here is that a lot of like the difficulty settings are unlocked from the start. So they know people have played it, and so they're like,
Are you on Master Ninja? No,
so they don't unlock Master Ninja right away, but you can start on hard now instead of having to play normal and then hard and then very hard and then whatever. Yeah. But also they've added, I think it was it in Razor's Edge? There's a mode called Hero Mode. Or no, it's on the Vita versions of those games. There's a mode called Hero Mode, and it automatically blocks for you. It's just like beginner.
That's better than Ninja Dog.
And we get a pink band or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of controversial, but like if it gets more people to play the game, I guess whatever.
I think it's fine, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't force you. I think all games should have an accessibility mode.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
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 I think it should.
If a creator doesn't want to have it, they don't have to have it.
No, I think they should.
Well, I think you're a bitch. No.
I think they should.
Let's just get really heated.
I don't really
this.
Care. I think they should. Did you know, have you seen Horizon Forbidden West's accessibility mode?
Isn't it like crazy, like Last of Us 2 levels?
No, it's a helper mode. Okay. So if you're playing and I'm playing, or say we play the game together.
Okay.
We both have controllers. I can take over.
Oh.
If, like, you can't do something, it's to help, like, when, like, a child's playing.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I just take the controller?
Because then, like, it's the idea that, like, the kid can feel like...
My little brother is playing, but I unplugged the controller, and oh, my God, they added that?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, like, they're playing... Like, you both have the control,
mm.
but yours can take over and help them to to do something, right?
Okay. All right. I can see
it's
that.
Pretty cool.
I think it's
cool. I guess it's like driver instructor mode, right? Yeah. You know, like they have a brake. Maybe they have a wheel.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe they'll take over control if you're fucking up.
Yeah.
All right. That's okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So going back to the Ninja Gaiden collection, there are some things, though, in this that I think are just like
the best.
Lazy.
Oh.
The thing that I think is the best is loading times. Oh, my God, are they improved. Like, Ninja Gaiden 1 had literally minutes of loading when loading up levels or starting the game and shit like that. And it's just pretty much instant now.
Okay.
Which is very, very nice. Especially now that I'm playing on hard. And, like, I'm starting on hard.
And you're dying a lot?
I'm dying a lot, baby.
Like a restart? Yeah.
A little rusty. But the things that I think are kind of bad about this collection is that it is extremely bare bones.
What do you mean?
So when you buy the collection, it's not even like you boot up the collection and there's like a nice menu and there's like some extras or whatever. It is just, here's three separate executables. And then when you launch it, it's the game. I heard it's even worse on the PC version. So if you launch the PC version, it's just a port of the console version, so there's no PC exclusive like resolution change.
Oh,
if you want to change the resolution, you have to set it in the Steam launch options, and the game doesn't launch in full screen. You have to drag the screen down, press the window button.
Oh my god.
So on the console version is less of an issue,
man. PC gaming, everybody.
I know, right? It's less of an issue, but it's I still wish there was a little bit more, you know. Also, when it comes to a collection, I wish there was like some extras. You get some art or like some behind the scenes stuff or whatever. This is really just a rushed product. I think the biggest one for me is they do not allow you to skip cutscenes in all the games. So in Ninja Gaiden 1, no matter how many times you've played the game, you must watch all cutscenes every time.
Okay.
And I'll admit it. Story in Ninja Gaiden, it's not good. All right?
Yeah.
You play that game for the gameplay, all right? No one cares about the Dark Dragon Blade and the Lord of Doku.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. See
that
what I'm saying?
That is pinnacle of gaming narrative.
Shut up.
Makes everything everywhere all at once look like trash.
Doku killed me, but then an eagle came and I'm alive and it doesn't explain why.
See? Beautiful.
God,
that is art.
There is just a lot of stuff that they could have improved, mm-hmm. and that they just decided not to. And there's a lot of added value they could have put in these collections that they just didn't. But as a diehard fan of the Ninja Gaiden series, if they allow me to load a level in under 5 seconds, I'm there. Because replaying those on the PS3 recently, loading times are brutal. They're not fun.
Dang.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm having fun. A lot of people don't like 3. I have a lot of fun with 3. I don't know.
I think 3 lost the plot a bit.
Yeah, but also, did it have a plot to begin with?
No, I mean like in terms of like the game was less focused. The singular focus on the blade.
Listen, I'll tell. Original Ninja Gaiden 3 was the most focused on the blade. You know why?
Too focused.
You know why? Because you only had one weapon, and all other weapons were DLC.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I like Ninja Gaiden 3. I think it's a lot of fun. Like the fight, like some of the boss fights are a little rough. Like they have like a lot of like these set pieces, and some of them feel just like, oh, these games are hard, so we'll just make an annoying boss rather than it being fun and difficult.
That sounds good.
That sounds fun. But they have like a lot of challenge modes where they bring back old bosses from 1 and 2. They have a lot of different weapons. The costumes, you play as all Ayane and the Ninja Girls. Those are really fun, mm-hmm. and they all have their own unique way of playing. They have the challenge modes and stuff like that. I don't know. I think on sale, this is not that bad of a product. I think
if that wasn't a glowing recommendation, yeah, I don't know what is.
I'm a little biased because I love these games. I still think that like X many years later, Ninja Gaiden 1 is like one of the best playing character action games you can buy.
Okay.
But I'm just a little bit disappointed in the status of the collection. I wish it was just a better package. And
that's fair.
They've said before that they couldn't remake Black and Xbox 362 because they lost the source code. And so it would take a lot longer for them to do that. But put in the work.
Put in the goddamn work.
What's the every frame of painting video with Jackie Chan where it's like, are you going to go to every theater and tell the audience member, oh, we had to do this and we had to do that? It's like, no, you got to make a good movie, right? Just make a good product. These games like defined a genre, and it's a little bit sad to just see like the bare minimum put into it. So.
All right.
Yeah, I think the games are still good, but the package as a whole could be better.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. And then, I got my other games that I'm going to try playing soon. I got, Demon's Tilt?
Demon's Tilt.
Demon's Tilt. It's like a RPG pinball game.
Yeah.
And you have to defeat the devil through pinball.
Yeah.
And then was the other one, After Party, which I still got to start. Adventure game where you drink with the devil.
Yeah. So
we'll see how those go.
Cool.
And then thanks to Joseph's recommendation, I did start reading Teppu.
Oh.
It's only 33 chapters. So I'm going to get through that and come back with full review or thoughts next week.
Yeah, neat. Wicked. I'm not going to read that.
Do it. You should join the manga train. Get with the manga kids. Get ahead of the game.
No.
You know who's caught up on My Dress Up Darling?
You.
This guy.
Me.
Wow. I'm on episode 3.
Damn. I thought she was best girl. What happened?
Listen, I don't have to watch the show to know she's best girl.
Fake fan, dude. Again. Listen. That's how I know. Fake fan.
Listen. I know.
You never even got to the group cosplay arc.
I don't need to.
You do.
I saw her face. I saw her art. Listen, I've seen enough of her art to know she's best girl.
All right. Okay. What kind of art are you looking at?
All the art. Okay. Okay. I'm qualified.
Okay.
All right. All right.
It's true. You are the anime expert.
I am qualified and a cultured man, so I understand.
All right.
Everything I've seen is good.
You're on those image boards. You're on those Bodu boards. You know?
I'm on all the boards. Let's be real. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, that's been spend the majority of my week.
Wait,
some more stuff later.
Good. And that's it for a show.
Hell yeah.
Again, long weekend, Easter weekend. If you're celebrating, have fun.
Play the podcast for your friends and family.
Absolutely.
Tell them to subscribe.
Yeah. If you go to an Easter egg hunt and you have too much chocolate and candies left over, send them to me.
Dude, you hate chocolate. I thought you were on a diet. I thought you were on a snacking
I gotta hiatus. I gotta fill up my desk at work with chocolate.
Oh, so you can trade. On the snack market.
Listen, the economy is back in business, okay?
The snack economy. Hell yeah.
And there's some favors I need, but I need payment.
Dude, there was a chocolate bar box at Costco.
Yeah.
That I saw. It was O. Henry. It was Reese Cups. Cookies and Cream Hershey bar.
Okay.
It was like the three best chocolate bars you could buy.
Nope, but okay.
Absolutely. What are you talking about?
Nope.
Those are the three best ones.
Nope. I will not have this blasphemy on this podcast. Nope. Dude. Go away. Milk, nope.
Milk chocolate better than dark chocolate. That's what I'm talking about. Right? Take your 90% cacao, shove it up your ass.
Listen, I'm a baker's chocolate only type of guy.
Raw cut. Just the ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, see you guys next week.
See ya.